Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 17th of June, the Instrumentum Laboris, or working document of the upcoming Special Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for the Pan-Amazonian region, is released. Protesters set fire to a Protestant church in Niger following the arrest of a prominent Muslim leader. And Pope Francis invites conventual Franciscans to live in a spirit of fraternity, littleness and peace in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi in the Vatican. I'm Lydia O'Kane. The Instrumentum Laboris, or working document of the upcoming Special Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for the Pan-Amazonian region, was released in the Vatican today. The Synod takes place from the 6th to the 27th of October 2009 on the theme Amazonia, New Paths for the Church and for an Integral Ecology. Briefing the press in the Vatican Press Office for the publication of the Synod's Instrumentum Laboris was Cardinal Lorenzo Baldisseri, Secretary General of the Synod of Bishops. He said at the heart of the document is the cry of the Amazon that asks the Church to be its ally in reaching out to everyone, especially the poor, as they seek true fulfilment and human dignity in their lives. Linda Bordoni has more.
Cardinal Baldisseri explained that the working document is a result of a listening process that began with Pope Francis's visit to Puerto Maldonado in Peru in January 2018 and continued with consultations throughout the Amazon region and a second meeting of the pre-synodal council. A brief documentary showed images of the Amazon, which encompasses a region of 7.8 million square kilometres, and that includes territory that belongs to nine different nations. Its 5.3 million square kilometre rainforest is the largest in the world and is an irreplaceable source of freshwater, oxygen and biodiversity for the planet. The document itself is divided into themes and issues. Its introduction speaks of the relationship between life and water, highlighting how the great rivers flowing through the region are crucial, not only for the flora and the fauna of the territory and of the earth, but for the livelihood, culture and spirituality of thousands of indigenous communities, other minorities and farmers who live in the region. A region where life is threatened by environmental destruction and exploitation, threatened by the economic and political interests of the dominant sectors of today's society, in particular of the mining companies. In the second part of the document that describes Amazonia today as a wounded and deformed beauty, a place of pain and violence, the document offers suggestions relating to integral ecology. It speaks of the need for the Church to accompany, promote and defend the inhabitants of the region, many of whom are forced to leave their land and often fall into criminal networks, drug trafficking and trafficking in human beings. It has sections dedicated to the value of popular piety, to new ministries, to the role of women, to consecrated life, to ecumenism, and to the possibility of allowing priests to marry in certain circumstances in order to ensure the sacraments, there where lack of vocations and great distances deprive communities from being able to celebrate the Eucharist. Finally, the document urges the Church in Amazonia to prophetically put power into question, noting that over 1,100 indigenous people were killed in Brazil alone in just 14 years as they attempted to defend their land. The document states the Church cannot remain indifferent to this. It must continue to listen to and to respond to the cry of the people, and it calls upon the Synod of Bishops to seek new paths that make a kairos possible for the Church and for the world. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Iran said on Monday it will break the uranium stockpile limit set by Tehran's nuclear deal with world powers in the next 10 days. The announcement by the head of the country's Atomic Energy Agency, timed for a meeting of EU foreign ministers in Brussels, puts more pressure on Europe to come up with new terms for Iran's 2015 nuclear deal. The deal has steadily unravelled since the Trump administration pulled America out of the accord last year and reimposed tough economic sanctions on Iran. Protesters have set fire to a Protestant church in Niger following the arrest of a prominent Muslim leader. Local bishops have denounced the ongoing violence in the African Sahel region. Francesca Merlo has more.
Setting fire to the church in the city of Maradi was reportedly an act of retaliation by protesters who were demonstrating against the arrest of a prominent imam. Witnesses said groups of young people demonstrated by placing barricades on the road and burning tyres. The church was set on fire after the influential imam of the Zaria Mosque was arrested by police on Saturday. He was accused of criticising a government bill on the organisation of worship in Niger by calling it anti-Islamic. However, the police said that he was released on Sunday afternoon after he had apologised. In a message shortly before his release, the imam urged his supporters to stop creating unrest in the city, stressing that Islam does not support this. The bishops of Niger and Burkina Faso recently denounced the strategies used by terrorists of causing fear among the populations and for sowing the seeds of intercommunity and interreligious conflicts. They particularly invite Christians to persevere in prayer and to intensify measures of prudence and vigilance, both at the individual and community levels, in a climate of faith and hope. The text concerning the bill regarding religious practice is due to be discussed in Parliament on Monday. After a meeting between the Prime Minister and the leaders of Muslim organisations, the Minister of Higher Education said action will never be taken against Islam and stressed, "We have a duty to protect other religions." Niger's Ministry of the Interior stated that the aim of the implementation of this law was to avoid the abuses advocated by terrorist organisations. Niger is a predominantly Muslim country, with 1-2% Christians out of a population of more than 20 million inhabitants. The country has already experienced serious religious unrest. After the publication of cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad by the French newspaper Charlie Hebdo in 2015, anti-Christian riots killed 10 people in Niamey and destroyed most of the churches in the capital and in Zinda, the country's second largest city. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Kenyan doctors are testing a hospital patient in western Kenya who has Ebola-like symptoms as eastern Congo is struggling to control the outbreak and Uganda has reported 2 deaths from the deadly virus. Results from the test are expected in 12 to 24 hours. If confirmed as Ebola, it would be Kenya's first ever case of the virus and represent a worrying spread of the disease from eastern Congo. Following the 2 deaths in Uganda, World Health Organization spokesperson Tarek Yazarevich spoke to UN News about the needs and priorities in the country.
It is very important that the Ministry of Health, together with the World Health Organization, goes quickly to this area where the cases have been identified to make sure that all those who may have been in contact with these people are being monitored. And obviously there is a cooperation between ministries of health of Uganda and Democratic Republic of Congo on a number of issues, trying to make the response measures being coordinated. The numbers are changing, obviously, but we are right now compiling the list of those who may have been in touch with members of this family who have tested positive. It is important that these people are identified, that they are offered vaccine, and that they are followed for 21 days. Uganda has been working on preparedness since the beginning of the outbreak in DRC, and we hope that this preparedness work will now bear its fruits, aiming to shut down this outbreak quickly.
An investigation is underway to shed light on why Argentina suffered a nationwide electricity blackout, which also affected Uruguay and Paraguay. James Blair's reports about when the lights went out.
Argentina was hit almost nationwide by a massive electricity blackout. The only unaffected state was Tierra del Fuego, right down south, which is not connected to the national power grid. Uruguay, which shares the grid, was also out, and Paraguay was partially affected. Argentina's president, Mauricio Macri, called the across-board outage an unprecedented failure of the power grid. Yet experts are so far counting out a cyber attack or sabotage, explaining it could take them up to 2 weeks to discover exactly what happened and what sparked it and why. The origin of the problems being traced to a location near a dam in the northeast of Argentina. So, millions of people experienced the inconvenience, which was short-lived but considerable. Public transport at a standstill, shops shut, cell phones eerily lighting up polling booths in the early morning chill, and hospitals relying on emergency generators. Many wonder if it could happen again anytime soon. For Vatican News, James Blair's reporting.
Conservative candidates vying to replace British Prime Minister Theresa May clashed on Sunday evening over how to win a deal to leave the European Union, with several saying they could win changes to an agreement the bloc says will not be reopened. Five of the six remaining contenders spoke over each other in trying to prove they could succeed where May failed in leading Britain out of the EU.
Every time one of these candidates takes an option away from leaving at the end of October, whether it's because they're not willing to countenance no deal, whether it's because they flirt with another extension or a second referendum, we weaken our chances of getting the best deal.
The problem with all the other four is they think they're threatening something, but a threat is not credible unless it can be delivered. I too have negotiated. The European Union knows perfectly well that no deal would be damaging. They know perfectly well that no deal cannot get through Parliament, which is why the question is how. And the answer to that is suspending Parliament.
When it comes to Nigel Farage, look, I don't underestimate him as a politician. He's had great success in recent weeks, as we've seen. But delivering on something as important as Brexit should be the job of the elected government of the people.
And finally, Pope Francis on Monday invited conventual Franciscans to live in the spirit of fraternity, littleness and peace in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi. The Pope met with the Order of Friars Minor, conventual, at the conclusion of their month-long general chapter, which saw delegates adopt new rules to govern community life. Devon Watkins reports.
Pope Francis complimented the conventual Franciscans for approving their new general statutes, which include changes regarding interculturalism and financial transparency in community life.
Questo lavoro è faticoso, ma è fatica ben spesa.
These changes are difficult, but it is effort well spent, the Pope told the group. Pope Francis noted that the gospel is the Franciscans' basic rule of life. The Pope then explored three ways conventual Franciscans can be a living gospel.
Si caratterizza innanzitutto per la fraternità.
Fraternity, he said, is a central aspect of life for those who follow in the footsteps of St. Francis. The Holy Father said fraternity requires everyone to love and nourish his brother so that community life becomes a type of prophecy for the church and the world.
E la minorità.
Pope Francis said littleness is another important characteristic of conventual Franciscan life.
Questa è una scelta difficile.
This is a difficult path, he said, because it is opposed to worldly logic, which seeks success at any cost and desires to occupy the first place. St. Francis said the Pope told Franciscans to be humble and to spend their lives in the service of others.
Predicate la pace.
Conventual Franciscans are called to preach peace, said Pope Francis. He said peace can be understood as reconciliation with ourselves, with God, with others, and with creation.
È una riconciliazione a cerchi concentrici.
Reconciliation consists in concentric circles which begin in the heart of Christ within us and extend out to embrace the whole universe, he said. Living these three aspects of Franciscan life, which are fraternity, littleness, and peace, said Pope Francis, requires continuous formation that promotes confirmation to Christ in every sphere of life.
Solo così potremo contenere almeno in parte l'emorragia degli abbandoni.
In conclusion, Pope Francis said only good religious formation can help stem the hemorrhaging of priests and religious who are abandoning their calling. I'm Devon Watkins.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks to our studio team in the Vatican.